Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, being joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. The main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word with you, the listener, and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel in Mankato. How are you doing today, Pastor Radical?
Very well. Glad it's Thanksgiving.
It is, yes. Today is Wednesday, November 25th. Tomorrow is the 26th, which is the annual celebration of the Day of Thanksgiving. And so today I thought it was appropriate that we do a devotion on Psalm 136, verse 1. Very familiar words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Probably most familiar to you, the listener, and to me, myself, as we give thanks to the Lord after each meal. Sometimes this prayer is included at the beginning of the meal with the familiar, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. And as I grew up as a child, the way that my family did is we would say this prayer after the meal. This kept us at the dinner table, and we were not allowed to leave until we were excused after this prayer, where we'd pray, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I mentioned before, this comes from Psalm 136, verse 1, but actually this exact phrase, this exact wording occurs six times in the Old Testament. It begins Psalm 106, it begins Psalm 107, it begins and it ends Psalm 118, and it can also be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So this phrase is a very well-used and well-worn phrase in the history of Christianity and followers of the true triune God. And it's certainly appropriate that we use this regularly in our homes as well, that we give thanks to the Lord, because Thanksgiving as a holiday can sure become pretty watered down. Wouldn't you agree with that, Pastor?
I think a lot of it, especially when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances in our lives, you know, when he says the Lord is good, I think it's very tempting for us to question that goodness and to wonder, what do I really have to be thankful for? And so I like that you chose this passage as a devotion because of how much it's used in the Bible, but because we need those constant reminders of the Lord's goodness, his graciousness, his mercy, his compassion. All these words help us remember what kind of God that we have and how he differentiates himself from the other gods of this world. And so I'm really appreciative that the Lord gives us reason to give thanks. And so I like, this is a great, great verse for us for today and this week.
Yeah. You know, the typical tradition on Thanksgiving is, you know, you sit down at the dinner table and everybody takes turns saying what they're thankful for, you know, and there's all kinds of reasons, things to be thankful for in this world, certainly. And, you know, the Lord gives us many reasons to be thankful because of the many physical blessings that he gives us here on earth. And certainly we can name many of those things. But the main emphasis from this verse is why to give thanks to the Lord, is because he is good. That's the main reason to give thanks to God. You know, the Bible describes God as a all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present being, that he is everywhere. He knows everything you've ever done. And when you really sit down and consider what that means for you and I, it can be kind of a scary thing. You know, God knows all the things that you do when no one else is around. God knows all the sins that you commit in your heart that no one else can see. And when we really consider that, boy, that can certainly be a scary thing. You know, it's a frightful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But God is not an angry God towards us. God loves his people. He loves his children. He's good. In the ultimate sense of the word, he is good. He's not good just like, you know, my wife asked me, how's that meal I made? Oh, it's good. You know, that's kind of a not the nicest compliment in the world, right? It's good. You know, it's not great, but it's good. But here when we says he is good, it means every aspect of him is good. Every action that he takes is good. Everything that he does for us is good and for our good. And so we can give thanks to the Lord for that, especially for the spiritual blessings, many physical blessings, but especially what he does for us spiritually. And that's what where the end of this prayer goes. For his mercy, you mentioned that word compassion would also apply here. His mercy, his compassion endures forever. And that's wonderful news for us, especially as we go day by day and year by year as we celebrate Thanksgiving. We know that, you know, God's mercy isn't going to stop next year. You know, it's not going to quit tomorrow. God's mercy endures forever. You know, we're going to end up committing those sins again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And we know that, but God's mercy endures forever. He continues to forgive us. He continues to be good towards us, to give us blessings and spiritual life and forgiveness and eternal life in heaven and all these many, many blessings the Lord gives us because he is good, because he is loving towards us. And ultimately, because of what he did for us through his son, Jesus Christ, you know, his mercy, you know, is what rescues and redeems us. We deserve to go to hell for what we've done, but because of what Jesus did, because he went to the cross, because he suffered, because he died to take away our sins, because he rose again, that mercy is ours both now and forevermore. It's a covenant God made with us, with his people, because of what Jesus did, now we are rescued and redeemed. And so, you know, we say this prayer after the meal, and a lot of times I think we think of the blessings of that meal, whatever, or the food that we eat that day. And tomorrow being Thanksgiving, there'll be turkey and potatoes and, you know, whatever else all the different families will be eating. But we can still give thanks to the Lord because not just for the turkey, but also for his mercy, which is the greatest blessing of all and the greatest thing we need to keep in mind both this Thanksgiving and every day. Let's pray. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your compassion, which looked down upon us from eternity, which came up before the solution of all our sins, and which that mercy, which now leads us to everlasting life with you. Please continue to show mercy upon us, your children. Please bless us with your love and show us your compassion through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the many earthly blessings you have given us, but most of all, we thank you for the spiritual blessings of forgiveness, life, salvation, eternal home in heaven with you. Be with and bless us both this day and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, a couple announcements we'd like to bring to your attention in our podcast today. Once again, our weekly Bible study, which takes place Wednesday evenings, is on hold for now. That'll be picking back up again in the new year, in January. But right now we'll be having a service tonight and in the coming weeks due to Advent. So that is, we're going to take a break with that. We finished up the book of James last week with Pastor Radical, and I'll be picking up a study on the Gospel of Mark beginning in January. This last week, we also returned to our study of the liturgy in Bible class. We'll be continuing that study in the weeks to come, taking a look at how and why we use the liturgy that we use and what why we do it, and that it's not just something we do because it's what we've always done it, but it's something that is very intentional and thought, a lot of thought put into the liturgies that we use. The gym is pretty much wrapped up at this point. All the polyurethane is down. The Board of Ed met last night and concluded that we should keep that gym closed through December 18th. Both in connection with Governor Walz's instructions on youth sports, and also because that polyurethane that was put down takes a full 30 days to completely cure. We could use it if we wanted to, but, you know, given all the circumstances and with the governor's instruction and school not being in session, being held in person at this point, we simply decided, well, let's close her down and just let that poly fully cure and allow it to develop that full hardness that we wanted to, and keep that gym protected. So please keep off of the gym, everyone, until December 18th, and we'll go from there. As I mentioned earlier, coming up tonight is our Thanksgiving Eve service. It'll be the same service tomorrow morning. Tonight the service is at 6 p.m. and tomorrow it's at 9 a.m. That is a bit of a change. Normally we have services at 10 a.m., but please note if you're coming tomorrow, the service will be held at 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. Our Advent schedule also has been changed a little bit. This year, we are only planning on doing the 6 p.m. service, so we'll not be having an early afternoon service. But that 6 p.m. service will be live streamed, so if you are uncomfortable driving at night or attending services at this time, please take note of that live stream that will be available at 6 p.m. And also after service, that service is live. It'll be posted on our YouTube page as well. Regarding our prayer list this week, we continue to keep my mom, Desiree Naum, in our prayers. She's completed 1 week of hospice care now, and things seem to be going well with that. We also keep Jake Bussey in our prayers for his continued cancer treatments, as well as Beth Grieve, who's also undergoing treatment for cancer. We keep in our prayers Vicky Kirksey, who was hospitalized last week with COVID and pneumonia, but the Lord has given her healing, and she's now at home getting better as well. We pray, keep her and certainly her family in our prayers as well. Also still praying for Liam and Simon Housechild, the twins of Kenny and Rachel Housechild. They are still in the NICU up in the cities, but they are recovering, they're growing, and it seems like things are on the upswing for them. So please continue to keep these two young souls in your prayers, that the Lord would bless them with growing and allow them to return home soon. This brings us today to our doctrine of the day. We thought it fit in pretty well with the devotion we did today on Psalm 136 on the doctrine of prayer. So Pastor Radical, when it comes to prayer and how you teach prayer to maybe your catechism students or adult instruction class people, how do you summarize prayer for people?
Well, there's a lot of different ways of trying to view what prayer is, and a lot of people would say a simple summary is a heart-to-heart talk with God. But I like to remember the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, just to kind of think about what does my prayers look like. If I ask my kids what should we pray for, or when I ask them at night before we go to bed, or sometimes around the supper table, like you mentioned around Thanksgiving time too, a lot of times their prayers are focused on the supplication, the S of that ACTS model, where I want this or I need this, Lord, supply me for this. There's nothing wrong with praying for things like that. But what's nice about using the ACTS model is it kind of helps you see what kind of things you're praying for. If you were to write out a letter to Jesus, Dear Jesus, and go through that letter, is it only focused on supplication? So the other three parts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, is what you and I plan to talk about today. So when we talk about adoration, I guess I could start with that one a little bit. If you break down that word adoration, it's like adoring. And maybe it seems weird to say we adore God, but if we were to say we adore a little baby, like we just talked about with Liam and Simon, two little tiny boys, there's things we adore about them. They're so cute. You know, the wonderful smell of a baby, you know, that those pheromones that come off them, and you know, just that joy that they give us. Yeah, we wouldn't say the same characteristics of God, but we want to adore him the same way. Just like you did with Psalm 136, we talked about his mercy, his faithfulness, any of those characteristics of God that he continues to show that compassion, that presence. You know, he's always there. He's that doting parent, and we can adore him for those things. And so when we pray, a lot of times we can start out, merciful Father in heaven, or all-powerful God. We're adoring his characteristics that mean a lot to us. And so we can think of that with our prayer. Would our whole prayer be adoration? It could be, but again, that's one part of prayer. So the ACTS is just the ACTS is just a way of kind of seeing what kind of things are we praying for. So the second one is, did you have anything to add with adoration before you go into confession?
Yeah, it makes me think of the wise men, right? When the wise, you know, you mentioned the little baby, when the wise men came to this little baby, what did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped this little baby, or maybe probably toddler, Jesus. And they gave him their gifts, right, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, that type of adoring. And so we see that with, you know, the baby Jesus. But, you know, that's what maybe you could think of supplicants or citizens of a king or a kingdom. That's what you do when you go before a king. You bow down, you prostrate yourself. And that's really what adoration means, is to come before him in thanks and praise and giving him the glory and honor that's due him.
Well, I think it's neat. You made me think of that Christmas hymn, one of my favorites, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him, Christ the Lord. So I think it's very fitting.
Definitely. That brings us to confession, which, you know, there's a couple different kinds of confessions we talk about in the worship service. There's confession of sins, there's confession of faith. What kind of confession are we talking about here?
I think it could be both. I think primarily confession of sins, but confession of faith in the forgiveness of those sins too.
Yep. So I generally think of this as confession of sins, right? When we're praying, that's what we're doing, is we're saying, Lord, I am unworthy. And again, we can think about, you know, the citizen of a king coming before him and prostrating himself. And, you know, maybe that doesn't completely fit our analogy with that, because God obviously is perfect and righteous. We should confess all sins to him. And, you know, but when you think about, like, you know, someone going before a king, I'm not worthy, or you're so awesome and great, not, you know, kind of buttering the king up or something like that, you know. But with God, it really is true, right? Is we are not worthy. We are sinful. We are unworthy to go before him or to call him Father. And yet, what an amazing thing that he invites us to do that. We sinful human beings, though we may be, he comes and tells us, hey, address me as our Father who art in heaven. You know, bring your large petitions before me, and I promise to hear you and to answer them. And when we confess our sins, you know, to God, obviously we confess not just the sins we know we've done, but we confess all sins to God, because there's many sins we aren't even tracking. We're not even sure that we're not even aware that we have done them. And so we confess everything to God, and God invites us to do that. And that's what we do on Sunday morning, confessing our sins of thought, desire, word, and deed, and trusting that God gives us the forgiveness of those sins as well, which leads well to our third thought of thanksgiving, which obviously is our main theme for this podcast, because this week being Thanksgiving. So how does that idea of thanksgiving kind of differentiate from adoration, confession, supplication?
Well, we know we're teaching our kids to say please and thank you. It's like the Lord knows all things. We know he knows that we're grateful, but as parents, we know our kids love us, but it's certainly nice to know that they're also grateful for the things that we provide for them. So they hear that thanksgiving. So when I think of Thanksgiving, I know the Lord knows I'm thankful, but I like to acknowledge it, not just to him, but also to other people too. So it's that thankful, it's an attitude of prayer that I'm thankful, I'm content, I'm appreciative of all that the Lord has done for me. And so that the Lord talks about that in the Lord's Prayer too. You know, where we think about, as we direct our petitions to him, we want to be grateful and thankful that he hears us and that he responds to us as a loving father, as a brother would.
Yeah, good. You know, I think this can oftentimes overlap some with the adoration. You know, God, you're so awesome and mighty and powerful, and, you know, also thank you. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with these things overlapping, you know, and this acts thing, it's not like you have to do it this way every time, or it has to be in this order or anything. We're not saying that. It can just be a helpful reminder of a way to kind of track all those things and make sure we're keeping all those different thoughts in our minds as well.
Do you think there's a appropriate balance that, I mean, you said it doesn't have to go one way or another, but as far as the balance of this goes, would you think you could run into problems with only kind of praying one thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you mentioned earlier. You know, as human beings, we have a natural tendency towards selfishness, right? Everyone is naturally looks out for number one, you know, by nature. And so that can often reflect in our prayer lives, as you mentioned earlier, with our focusing only on the supplication part of things. Dear God, here's the things I need. Here's what I need you to do for me. And we lay out in our mind, track. Here's how it's supposed to go. And of course, oftentimes God doesn't answer our prayers in the way we're looking for them to be answered. And oftentimes he answers our prayers in ways that we couldn't possibly have hoped he would or dreamt that he would have. But of course, God does always answer our prayers. But just because we have a tendency to focus on that selfish aspect doesn't mean God doesn't want us to bring our supplications, right? Jesus said, ask and be given to you, seek and you will find, knock will be opened to you. He tells many parables about the parable of the persistent widow who went back to this judge again and again and again and again. And finally, because of her persistence, he granted her request. God wants us to come to him, you know, applying this to my personal life, I feel like I've been praying for my mom for years at this point. It's only been a couple months, but, you know, God knows my prayers with that. And sometimes it feels redundant to pray again and again and again and again, but that's what God wants from us. He wants us to, you know, not to have vain repetition prayers, but to have those heartfelt prayers that that come from our deepest wants, desires, needs, and trusting that His will be done with all of these things. And that's really what prayer is all about, is, you know, bringing our petitions to God and then leaving them to Him and knowing that He's going to answer them as He sees best for us. And so we always pray, Thy will be done. And we trust that whatever His will is good and gracious towards us.
I like that verse, call upon me in the day of trouble. Reminds me of the supplication, I will deliver you. That thanksgiving part, and you will glorify me, comes kind of back to the adoration too. There's a lot of Bible verses that really touch on many, if not most, of these parts of prayer too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings us to our hymn of the day today. We thought we'd go through hymn 43, which is a good hymn to sing this Thanksgiving season. So we'll read through that now. It goes like this. We sing the almighty power of God, who bade the mountains rise, who spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. We sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines too at His command, and all the stars obey. We sing the goodness of the Lord, who filled the earth with food, who formed His creatures by a word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed, where'er we turn our eyes. Whene'er we view the ground we tread or gaze upon the skies, there's not a plant nor flower below but makes Thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. On Thee each moment we depend. If Thou withdraw, we die. Oh, may we ne'er that God offend who is forever nigh. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Twin Steeples podcast today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.